Welcome to the third lesson of Journeying Through the Bible for 2021. And today the teaching is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 23 verses 1 to 14. The title of this message is Getting Quick Answers from God. A bit of a background to this story, we see David as a fugitive prior to his kingship. His life is being threatened by Saul, who wants to get rid of him. And then David becomes the captain of an army of men who the Bible describes in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2, the previous chapter, as everyone who was suffering hardship and everyone who was in debt and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So in other words, there was this so-called merry band of men, I'll say merry in inverted commas, because they weren't at all. Here they have all gathered to David, and he becomes their captain. And we're just going to see, as David is faced with particular situations, how he handles it. And I also just want to mention here that when we look, as I've often mentioned in previous teachings, that in every Bible story that we might be reading, just it's important to know that from God's perspective there is no gender. In other words, we can apply these principles, men and women can both apply these principles to our lives. If there's no age related principles either, there's no God does not see gender. He does not see age. He just sees people whom he greatly loves. And it's important for us to glean from every single teaching, glean from the Bible, and to apply the principles that we can learn from the different life situations and apply them, the wisdom that is afforded to us from these stories, to our everyday lives. And so let's start reading from 1 Samuel chapter 23 verses 1 to 5, where the story begins when David is summoned to rescue the inhabitants of a city called Keilah, a place in the Judean lowlands, where the Philistines are plundering and robbing the threshing floors of its grain. In other words, they are destroying the economy of the city. Let's read from Samuel 23 verses 1 to 5. Then they told David, saying, "Behold, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are plundering, robbing the threshing floors of the grain." So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack these Philistines?" And the Lord said to David, "Go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah." But David's men said to him, "Listen, we are afraid here in Keilah. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the battle lines of the Philistines?" Then David inquired of the Lord again, and the Lord answered him, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will hand over the Philistines to you." So David and his men went to Keilah and fought the Philistines. He drove away their cattle and struck them with a great slaughter. So David rescued the inhabitants of Keilah. What I would like to draw to our attention specifically today is the emphasis which is made on David's inquiring of the Lord for advice on what to do in the situation, whether or not to attack the Philistines. The Lord tells him to go ahead and to fight. However, he has this problem facing him because this band of men think otherwise, due to the fact that they're terrified. They don't want to face the formidable Philistine army. And David's response here is he keeps quiet and he goes immediately to inquire of the Lord for an answer to the dilemma. God's response was, "I will hand over the Philistines to you." The specific word from God turned the situation around, and obviously David told his merry band of men to be obedient and go with what God had said to him. And as a result, they won the battle victoriously, and they rescued the inhabitants of Keilah from the Philistines. Now, that word inquire in Hebrew is shael, S-H-A-E-L. It literally means to demand or request, even to beg. That is what the Hebrew word meaning is. David, obviously with respect, placed a demand on God for an answer to the problem he was facing. But this is the emphasis. He actually demanded from God in a respectful manner. Now, to better explain this principle of placing a demand on God, I'd like to just use this following illustration. Recently, I bought a duvet cover, large cushions and mats for my son Timothy's bachelor pad. Now, circumstances had been such that when he had moved into his bachelor pad, as a mom, obviously, I'd wanted to bless him with certain decor for his flat, but it was at a time where I wasn't able to do so, and the Lord undertook anyway. His sister Sarah was going off to London, and she actually blessed him at that time with some decor. So, as a family, you know, we did bless him, and but as a mother, I really wanted to do something for Tim, and the opportunity arrived recently where I was able just to go in and get him some new items, and one of them was a duvet cover, which unfortunately, when Tim tried it on, he said it doesn't quite fit. It fits, but it's not quite big enough. So what I did was I went back to Mr. Price. And to rectify the problem, I decided to swap the cover for a bigger one. And then I WhatsApped him a couple of photos requesting that he gave me his color preferences. So when I was in Mr. Price, fortunately, Tim was available at the time to give me an answer immediately. If he had been in a meeting or busy shooting videos at that time, which he often is, as a busy entrepreneur earning money, I wouldn't have got an answer so quickly. So the demand or the request which I placed on him proved beneficial because he was available. In other words, I sent a demand for him. I said, "Tim, please can you let me know?" And I did it respectfully. I said, "Please can you let me know, you know, what is your preference?" And he was able to give an answer because he was available at the time. And I just want to just use this as an example, because when we can think of God, when we place a demand on God with a request for something, we might have a problem or difficulty, whatever we're facing, we can know that the God of the universe is always available. He is never in a meeting. He reacted very quickly to when David's demanded of his time to ask a question when he had a problem. And we see that David inquired of the Lord often in his relationship with him. And this is what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to place a demand on his time, not in a Father Christmas sort of demanding sort of way. Oh, I want this for a Christmas present. No, not that kind of, because with the kingdom of God, there are terms and conditions, obviously, but this comes out of a relationship with a loving God who wants to be available, to talk to us, to answer our problems, to, as David inquired of the Lord, God is a God of relationship, and he wants to answer us in very practical ways, just like he did in David's situation. I mean, David had a big problem. He had difficulties. He had Saul who was wanting to destroy his life. And so God is available to answer big problems and smaller problems. He just wants to be in relationship with us. And so let's go back to reading 1 Samuel 23, and we could just, if we read a bit further from verse 7, let's just read and see what happens here as far as David's concern is with Saul. It says here, "Now when Saul was informed that David had come to Keilah, Saul said, 'God has handed him over to me, for he shut himself in by entering a city that has double gates and bars.' So Saul summoned all the people for war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. For David knew that Saul was plotting evil against him, and he said to Abiathar the priest, 'Bring the ephod here.' Then David said, 'O Lord, the God of Israel, your servant has heard for certain that Saul intends to come to Keilah to destroy the city on my account. Will the men of Keilah hand me over to him? Will Saul come down just as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant.' And the Lord said, 'He will come down.' Then David asked, 'Will the men of Keilah surrender me and my men to Saul?' The Lord said, 'They will surrender you.' Then David and his men, about 600, arose and left Keilah, and they went wherever they could go. When Saul was told that David had escaped from Keilah, he gave up the pursuit. David stayed in the wilderness, in strongholds, in the hill country of the wilderness of Ziph. Saul searched for him every day, but God did not hand David over to him." So we see here that the situation was such that David then calls for Abiathar the priest to bring him the ephod. Now the ephod in the Old Covenant Israeli times was very significant because it was an item, it was a priestly garment that was used to hear the voice of God. It was associated, it had symbolism which and an association which the people of Israel would use to hear the voice of God. And so it was a high priestly garment. And I just want to not go into too much detail here, but just mention that on the actual ephod, which was a tunic which was worn by the high priest, there was a breastplate. And the breastplate carried what was known as the Urim and the Thummim, which I've actually mentioned this in previous teachings as well, which were gemstones used specifically for the purpose of hearing God's voice. It also had on it four rows of stones upon which were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel and carried by the high priest into the holy place for remembrance before the Lord. Now, a very significant fact, symbolic of this was a very significant fact because it actually symbolizes for us as born-again believers under the new covenant, it is symbolic of Yeshua being Jesus being our great high priest, and he forever carries and remembers and knows our names because we as a church are under or are known as or referred to as spiritual Israel, and we are under a much better and a new covenant. So it, in other words, God has our address. He knows us uniquely by name. He knows every single child of God. Well, he knows everybody on this planet, but as far as born again believers are concerned, the church, he knows each one. He has us on his heart because we are covered in the blood, and he just remembers us. He continually remembers us. Our names come up before him continually. He's always remembering us. Isn't that so awesome? The awesomeness of such a loving God. He's always got us on his heart. He's always got us on his heart. He's always thinking about us. And the Bible also says that he never sleeps. The Lord God of Israel never slumbers or sleeps. So we as spiritual Israel are being remembered by the Lord continually. So when we place a demand on him, he just wants to answer our prayers because he loves us so much. Obviously, there are terms and conditions. There are terms and conditions that apply. But the emphasis here is God just wants to hear he wants to answer our prayers. He knows We are his sheep, and his sheep know. He is the shepherd, and we are his sheep, and he knows his sheep by name. Okay, so we can see here that the answer, it's going back to David, the answer was given again when David had this predicament of Saul, who wanted to destroy his life. When David inquired of the Lord, and in a nutshell, God then tells David that he would protect him from Saul. And verse 17 says that Saul searched for him every day, but God did not hand David over to him. He did not allow Saul to touch him. All because David took the time to seek God's face, and he was protected. The Lord is available every second of the day to hear us, whether our demands be big or small. I know, how often have I mislaid something and asked the Lord to help me find it quickly by sending up literally arrow prayers to heaven. For example, when I need to do something quickly in order to take care of my husband's needs, or I've only got X amount of time in which to do it and I can't find something. It's amazing how the Lord helps me when I ask him to find out what I've lost in order to get the household chores done, or when I've mislaid something, or when I'm in need, for instance, at the mall and I need a parking space quickly. He so graciously helps me out. And I know that he does that for all his children. All he's asking is for us to remember to do that, because sometimes we can forget. If life is busy, or there's pressures, or circumstances are pressurized, very often we can forget the most important thing, which is to ask our Heavenly Father, please help, Lord, I need your help. I know the times when I haven't asked the Lord and I've just done things in my own strength, it's always taken so long to sort a problem out. And that's not the way God wants things. Now, I just want to end off this teaching, and I'd like to mention just an example of a servant of the Lord who inquired of God during his lifetime, and it had such phenomenal effects. And that's the Reinhard Bonnke, who was the world's greatest healing evangelist. He's very well known, and he saw mighty, mighty miracles as a result. 77 million people, I looked up statistics, were recorded making decisions for Christ during his actual lifetime, because he had the biggest crusades the world has ever known. And he was known for inquiring of the Lord to answer problems. Now, such crusades would never have taken place if it weren't. I just want to mention this because I feel it's very important. Such crusades would never have taken place if it weren't for ministries such as Kenneth Copeland Ministries and their financial support. And Reinhard himself quoted, "The support we as an organization have received from Kenneth Copeland Ministries has been our mainstay over many years." Now, sadly, Kenneth Copeland, Gloria Copeland, and many other faith-based ministers of the gospel, both men and women, have been heavily persecuted by other brothers and sisters in Christ who have outwardly slandered, speaking evil of them, and treating them as enemies when they are actually not enemies at all. And I know Graham in previous teachings has mentioned this. And I also would like to encourage us as believers not to participate in the breaking down of God's people. You know, when I think about it, we in our relationship with the Lord God, with our Heavenly Father, we should be inquiring of the Lord so much. We should just be speaking to him. Graham, in a previous Bible study just this week on teaching the Word of God and teaching how to preach the Word of God, he just mentioned a scripture about looking up, how important it is to look up. And that is exactly the same thing as inquiring of the Lord, inquiring of the Lord. And my thinking here was, I thought, with this whole idea of inquiring of the Lord, the other day a video came to me which disturbed me greatly. I was so upset because on this video, the front of the video was a picture of Kenneth Copeland looking terribly evil. And then I listened to it a little bit, and I won't mention the name of the man who was discrediting him, the preacher, but it was horrific. And he was basically had taken things totally out of context, because I then went to Kenneth Copeland's website and checked out the scriptures, etc., and checked out the website and saw that this man was talking nonsense. And I actually had holy boldness came upon me, and I just went to that YouTube channel, this particular video, and I sent a message straight to the man who was preaching this message against Kenneth Copeland, and I said, please do not discredit God's anointed. I haven't heard anything from him since. But what I want to say here is, I just thought, if this man had been just this particular preacher who is breaking down members of the body of Christ who have done outstanding things in supporting ministries such as Reinhard Bonnke and the phenomenal crusades where millions of people have got saved, how can, if he would just spend his time inquiring of the Lord, placing demands on the Lord, speaking to the Lord, being obedient to spend time with God instead of lambasting and breaking down other anointed men and women of God, a lot more would be achieved for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. And I just want to mention that today, because I just felt so saddened and angry with a holy anger that this is happening in the body of Christ. And I want to encourage whoever's listening to this video, please, if videos like that come your way, just ignore them. Don't promote them by handing them out to other people. And if God leads you to just say, please do not discredit anointed men and women of God like Kenneth Copeland, whoever they might be that you know is a faith-based person and is doing a tremendous work for God. You know, if we all did that, we could make a change and stop this terrible criticism that is taking place, breaking down the body of Christ. And it's so important. It's so important that we do not break down God's anointed men and women. The Bible actually speaks, don't speak against God's anointed. And someone actually responded to me when I had, not the preacher himself, but someone else just said, oh, you know, you're believing lies, or I can't remember exactly what he said to me. But then I said, you know what, have you taken the time to read Kenneth and Gloria Copeland's books? Have you taken the time to look at their ministry websites? Have you taken the time to read, to listen to videos, the sources of information that over the years, have you taken the time to listen to what they actually speak, or are you just taking what one man has said about them? And it's so important, because they were actually spread, this video was spreading lies, which wasn't the truth. So I just want to leave us with that little thought, that let's stop any further discrediting. And we can make a choice to encourage and not break down the anointed men and women of God by this terrible spending, wasting valuable time on discrediting people when they have done such wonderful things for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. And there are going to be many crowns in heaven that will go to people, I believe, for the work that they have done when others have discredited them. So I'm going to leave us on that little note, and let's spend as much time as we can inquiring of the Lord and getting answers from the Lord to the different problems that you or I might be facing. Until the next journey through the Bible, be blessed in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen.